Okay, so I assume by now you've found your way to the book of Titus. I want to read with you Titus chapter 2, beginning in verse 11, a passage that we have read many times before, a passage that I've preached on several times. I'm not going to preach on this whole passage, and I'm not even going to preach on the part of this passage that I have most emphasized when I've preached from this passage before. Instead, I want to preach mainly from one idea that comes out of verse 14, but I want to begin reading at the beginning of that passage, or the beginning of that paragraph in Titus chapter 2, verse 11. Let's give our attention to God's word. God says, "For the grace of God has appeared. The grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions, and training us to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in the present age, waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify for himself a people for his own possession who are zealous for good works." This is the word of the Lord. God, would you bless the reading of your word this morning? Amen. The title of today's message is Zealous. Zealous. And I want to begin this message with a simple question. How zealous are you in your walk with the Lord? How zealous are you for loving other people, for ministering to other people, for serving others? How zealous are you for what Paul calls good works? I'm going to take a few minutes and just talk a little bit about what zeal means, about where zeal comes from, about what zeal doesn't look like, and about what zeal does look like, all right? So let's talk, first of all, about what zeal means. I pulled out my Greek English lexicon to look up the Greek word here. My Greek English lexicon has its own nickname. It's called BDAG. And this lexicon is kind of like Bosch power tools for Greek Bible study, all right? It's kind of the, it's the most powerful tool you can go to understand in simple ways. It's kind of like a dictionary in English for understanding Greek words. And I looked up this word here, zealous, in the original language. And I saw, what does this word zeal mean? And I noticed that BDAG describes the biblical idea of zeal like this. It says that zeal is to be stirred up emotionally, to be enthusiastic, to be excited, to be on fire. And BDAG continues that someone who is zealous is, quote, one who is earnestly committed to a cause. Now let those descriptions of zeal and zealousness settle in a little bit. Do you hear how in zeal, in the Bible's idea of zeal, in Paul's idea of zeal, there is this dynamic combination of, if you will, emotion on the one hand and devotion on the other, right? Zeal is not raw emotion that does nothing. Neither is it raw devotion and determination with no passion involved. No, it is this dynamic combination of emotion and devotion. This dynamic combination of passion in action. That's what zeal is all about. And you know this from real life, right? I mean, we live in a culture where there are a lot of people who are zealous for a lot of different things, right? You have neighbors who are zealous for their lawn. Don't you? There are people in your neighborhood who are zealous about lawn care. What does that mean? They get fired up if you have too many weeds in your yard. And it's not just an emotional thing for them. They spend hours of their life out there making their lawn as weed-free and as green as possible. These people are zealous about lawn care, right? There are some people who are zealous about the success of their business. There are some people who are zealous for their kids' education. There are some people who are zealous about very important political topics here in America, and you know what zeal looks like in those cases. There are some people who are zealous for the Chicago Cubs, and we pity you. Although we know you're waiting for your blessed hope, the appearing of Chris Bryant, who will bring you all the way to the promised land within the next three seasons. We'll see how that one pans out after 103 years. But it turns out that some teenagers in this church are zealous for a game called Gaga Ball. Amen? That was weak. You guys aren't proving my point. If you don't know what Gaga Ball is, find a teenager. Odds are they'll be happy to explain to you all about Gaga Ball. Some people in this room are zealous about Ultimate Frisbee. Yeah, we got some amens coming at that one. Some people in this room are zealous about Ultimate Frisbee. What does it mean to be zealous about Ultimate Frisbee? It is this combination of emotion and devotion. It is this combination of passion and action, right? So let's tease that out a little bit. There are some people who show up to play Ultimate Frisbee here in Oswego, maybe even once a week or maybe even twice a week, but they don't care all that much about the game. They show up mainly because their friends are there to play Frisbee, and they're really just there to be with their friends, and they'll hang out and they'll show up and do the Frisbee thing so that they can hang out with their friends while their friends are playing Frisbee. Are those people zealous about Ultimate Frisbee? No, they're devoted, but there's no passion about Frisbee, right? There's devotion, but no emotion. There's devotion, but no passion. There's action without passion. There are other people, on the other hand, and I'll be honest, this is me, who have a degree of passion and a degree of emotion, but very few action and very little devotion to the cause of Ultimate Frisbee. If you ask me what I think or how I feel about Ultimate Frisbee, I'll tell you, I used to play Ultimate Frisbee a lot when I was in college. I had a lot of fun with it. I think it's a wonderful game. I have nothing but positive memories, nothing but positive experiences. I never even busted up my lip playing it. Pretty cool. I have nothing but positive things to say about Ultimate Frisbee. I have very happy feelings about it. If you come to me and say, Josh, as my friend Spencer often does, come to me and say, Josh, do you want to join us and play Frisbee on Monday night? I'll say, I would love to. And that's the truth. I would love to go out and play Frisbee tomorrow night, and I may even be there. But here's the thing. As much passion as I have for Ultimate Frisbee, there are very few actions to back it up, right? What in the world? Respect your elders, young man. I love you, man. So I got this passion for it, but there are no actions that really back it up. I show up about two or three or four times a summer to play Frisbee with these people. Am I zealous for Frisbee? No. I might in my mind say Frisbee is a great idea. I might even have a heart that says Frisbee is a lot of fun, but my actions don't line up with my professed passion when it comes to Ultimate Frisbee. Those who are passionate, those who are zealous about Ultimate Frisbee are not those who have emotion without devotion. Neither are they those who are devoted without the passion. Those who are zealous for Ultimate Frisbee are those who have emotion and devotion, those who have passion in action. Those are the ones who are zealous for Ultimate Frisbee, and it's the same thing when it comes to serving other people and loving other people here in this church and here in our community. Paul says that Jesus gave his life to redeem for himself a people for his own possession who are zealous for good works. Jesus gave his life for you with an aim in mind, with a vision for your life. And that vision for your life included this idea of being zealous. Not just doing the stuff outwardly, devoted to doing the right things, devoted to doing the church stuff with no emotional engagement. Devoted to, okay, fine, it's ministry Sunday. You're going to make me check off some boxes. You're going to make me feel guilty about not serving in children's ministry. Fine, I'll check off my boxes. I'll show up. I'll serve. That's not what Jesus is after here, and that's not what I'm after here. Devotion without passion is not what zeal is all about. Neither is zeal all about saying, I think it's great to be involved in our community. Awesome. What are you going to do about it? I'm too busy. It's not exactly zealous for good works, is it? Sometimes we can have a passion for good and right things, but that passion is not dynamically combined with action. And we need to admit, as warm as my feelings are, like with me and Ultimate Frisbee, as much as I have warm feelings toward Ultimate Frisbee, if my actions don't lead me there often, I need to be honest and say, I'm not a Frisbee zealot. I'm not quite zealous for Ultimate Frisbee. What zeal means? What does zeal mean? Zeal is this combination of passion channeled into action. And Jesus' vision for your life involves a passion for serving other people being channeled into action. That's what it means to be zealous for good works. Now, before we press further into talking about what that looks like, I don't want to miss the context of this verse. Where does zeal come from? Our scripture reading today lands on this idea of zeal. Jesus Christ gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify for himself a people for his own possession who are zealous for good works. It lands on this idea of zeal. But zeal is not the thing that's most emphasized in this paragraph, is it? Zeal is the landing point. Zeal is the aim, the vision for your life. But what is this whole paragraph about? This whole paragraph is not about our zeal. This whole paragraph is all about God's grace. And that's not just an academic point about how this paragraph unfolds. This is how real life discipleship works. Something comes prior to our zeal for Jesus. It's Jesus' zeal to redeem us. There's something that comes before our love for others. It's God's love poured out for us. There's something that comes before we sacrificially serve others. It's how Jesus Christ humbled himself and has served us. There's something that comes before our merciful acts, our loving acts to others. It's how God in mercy laid down his life for us. And we need to get that order right. If we kind of break this down doctrinally for a minute, there are kind of two doctrinal things that we need to get out of Titus 2, 11 through 14. If you kind of boil it all down, and maybe this is an oversimplification, but there are at least two things we need to get out of this. Doctrinal point number one, we are saved by grace and by grace alone. We need to see that clearly. What is it that brings about salvation for all kinds of people? The grace of God. His generosity, his mercy, his undeserved favor and love toward us, which are poured out on our lives because Jesus came and suffered in our place and lived a righteous life for us so that we could be adopted into God's family and loved as God's own children. There's something that comes before how we go and love and serve others. It's how Jesus Christ has come to us and poured out grace on our lives. How is it that we're saved? We're saved by his grace and by his grace alone. Let's get this crystal clear. As we talk about zeal, zeal is not something that we go and we do in order to attract the grace of God. No, zeal is what we do in response to the grace of God that was freely and graciously and undeservedly poured out on us before we ever did any good works. We are saved, praise God, by grace and by grace alone. But here's the second doctrinal point that this passage kind of puts in front of us. We are saved by grace, but secondly, we are saved for good works. We're not saved by our good works. Listen, if we start to imagine that our zeal is the basis, is in any way the basis of our salvation, here's what's going to happen. You're going to get exhausted and you're going to burn out like that. Because we can never do enough. But praise God, we're not saved by our good works, and yet we are saved for good works. God has a vision for your life that's bigger than just being saved and then sitting on the couch. God has a vision for your life that involves Him pouring out His love and His mercy and His grace and His kindness and saying, I want to welcome you into my family as my child, and then I want to send you out into the world as my representative. I want to send you out into the world to spread the love of Jesus. And I want to send you out into the world to spread the gospel of grace. Two doctrinal points here. If we miss either one of these, we're saved by grace and we're saved for good works. If we miss either one of those, things aren't going to work. We're not going to be living out the kind of discipleship that Jesus intends for us. We need both of these. And yet, they aren't equal. They aren't two things that are interchangeable. You know, we talk sometimes, don't put the cart before the horse. You know, if you put a cart in front of a cart can't pull a horse. It just doesn't work that way. Carts don't pull horses, horses pull carts. It's the same thing here in this passage. There's an order here for a reason. Don't put the zeal before the grace. Why? Because zeal doesn't pull God's grace. God's grace pulls our zeal. God's grace fuels our zeal. God's grace empowers our zeal. God's grace enlivens our zeal. Trying to go and stir yourself up to zeal without soaking in God's grace is like trying to pull a Mack truck without putting any fuel in it. There's an order here. We don't begin with making ourselves zealous and then go back to God's grace. We begin by soaking up God's grace poured out freely and continually all over our lives. You see in this passage, grace isn't just something that we experience once in a lifetime. Grace is something that keeps on working in our lives. Grace saved us at the point of conversion. Grace continues to work in our lives today, transforming us, renewing us, teaching us to renounce ungodliness and worldly selfish passions, teaching us to live a new kind of life today. And grace will continue to be at work in our lives all the way until that day when Jesus comes back again. Grace isn't a once-in-a-lifetime event. It's something that we keep soaking up every single day. So let me just talk here really quickly to a couple groups of people. I can imagine there are some people here today who arrived, and you might feel like you're a track athlete at a track meet with a broken ankle. You feel that way because this is like Ministry Sunday. There's all these stories about all this stuff. People are running off and doing that. People are running and doing that. And you're here and you're like, I'm here at the track meet, but my ankle's broken. And listen, there are times in our lives you have a family member in the hospital and that just is your way of serving. I don't want you to feel today like you're outside of the club. Where if you can't check off any boxes because your life is devoted to caring for that one family member right now, and there's just no bandwidth, I want you to know you're not outside of this club. Sometimes track athletes there, they just need someone to come alongside them, put their shoulder under them and help them move forward in life. Listen, we're a community of grace. I want you to know, as we talk about this issue of zeal, I don't want you to walk away feeling guilty. I want you to walk away aware of the grace of God, of His smile over your life, even if you're in one of those seasons where you show up here on Sundays and you say, all I can do is just show up and hope that someone's going to put their arm around me and help me keep taking one step forward. I want you to know, if that's where you are, we value you, we love you, we embrace you right there today. I also want to talk to some who might be here today, and maybe you're feeling like, I've been doing the stuff of ministry, or I'm open to doing the stuff of ministry, but I just feel out of fuel right now. I just feel like the joy in serving isn't what it once was. So I want to encourage you to see in this passage, there's an order between grace and zeal. There's a connection. Don't try to pull God's grace by just pushing harder with your zeal. Soak up the wonderful grace of God that has already been poured all over your life. Soak it up. Rejoice in it this morning. Rejoice that God so loved you that He gave His only Son for you. Rejoice that His grace isn't a once-in-a-lifetime installment, but that His grace is being poured out over your life afresh this morning. This is why we go back to the Scriptures day after day, to discover more joy and delight in the grace of God. This is why we pursue communion with God through prayer, to experience more of the joy and delight that's found in the God of grace. This is why we come on Sundays and sing His praises. This is why we open the Word week after week. This is why we get together in small group fellowship to stir each other up, to give each other fresh portions of God's grace, to give each other fresh bottles of grace water to drink down as we feed each other with the truth of God's Word and keep encouraging each other to run the race. If you feel like you're doing this stuff and you're running out of fuel, soak up the grace of God. Sing about God's grace. Read about God's grace. Fellowship about God's grace. Don't just try to pull that Mack truck in your own strength. Soak up the grace of God that's poured out so generously all over you. That's what zeal is. It's this dynamic combination of passion and action. That's where zeal comes from. The grace of God. It's fueled by God's grace, not by our efforts. But what does zeal look like? What does zeal look like? I was thinking back this week on my own experience here in this church community. Some of you who don't know me as well might not realize I've been here at this church since 1998. I first showed up here as a guest who was a college student. A rather immature college student, a rather arrogant college student. I see some people laughing because you remember. I know what it's like to be a guest here in this church. This church was instrumental in my walk of discipleship. I really grew in discipleship during my time here in this church as others opened God's Word and taught me sound doctrine, as others helped me learn how to minister God's grace to other people. This is where I grew in leadership. This is where I made a lot of mistakes in leadership, but this is where I grew in leadership. Led my first small group here. I learned to lead worship here. I preached most of my first sermons to many of you. Thanks for sticking around. It's amazing. This church has been instrumental in my life, and I have so many warm memories, but you know, as I was thinking on this issue of zeal, I realized a lot of my time here in this church, not most of it, but for long portions of time, in truth, I haven't been zealous for good works. I think of the first few years that I was involved here in this church, the first few years that I was attending, in truth, in those years, I was a flat-out consumer. You know what I mean by consumer? You go to Target and you just pick what you want, right? So you don't take everything in the store. You just pick what you feel like taking, and that's it. That's how I related with my local church for the first few years that I was involved here. I was a consumer. I just kind of showed up on Sundays, late most of the time. I sat through the message. I listened a little bit. got back in the car, rode home, talked with whoever I was driving with as if I had just seen. I talked about the movie as if it was kind of I talked about the sermon as if it was like a movie. Well, did I like it or not? How did it make me feel today? I was minimally involved in my small group. I went when I felt like it. I didn't when I didn't feel like it. I went when my schedule was wide open. I didn't go if there was anything else going on or anyone else I could hang out with. When I did go to small group, it was mainly just an opportunity for me to be silly, try to get attention from other people by arguing about things. I didn't serve in any significant ways in this church for years. Actually, in those early years, I served in children's ministry once because they couldn't find anyone else to serve there that Sunday, and they called me, and I was like, okay, if no one else is going to do it, I'll serve once. Looking back, like, I wouldn't want me to serve in children's ministry anyway. I don't know whose idea that was. Ken, were you the one who got it? Ken might have been the one who called me, even. It was a lack of discernment. Yeah, you know, in those days, I wasn't zealous for good works. I didn't have a zeal for Christ's church. I didn't have a zeal for serving others in the community. In my case, frankly, that was because I didn't have a zeal for God himself at that time. And maybe that's not you, so don't hear me saying that must be you if you're not serving in children's ministry. But for me, you know why I didn't have a passion for serving Christ's church and serving other people in the community? Because I didn't have a passion, a vibrant passion for Christ himself. I thank God that he used friends in this church, leaders in this church, my small group. It wasn't just one person. I thank God that he used other people, a number of other people in this community. I wasn't just discipled by one individual. I was discipled by the community itself. It takes a village to raise one Wheaton kid. I thank God for all the people who patiently took time to open God's word to challenge me where I was being selfish, to challenge me where I was being proud and arrogant, to help me see Jesus' call for my life, to help me enjoy and rejoice in God's truth. I thank God for that. And my road since then has been up and down. I'll tell you, there were times a few years ago when I think I showed up on Sunday more as a distracted critic than as a servant-hearted disciple of Jesus. I think my words in personal conversations with some of you probably reflected the fact that I showed up more as a distracted critic than as a servant-hearted disciple of Jesus. And I want to ask you for forgiveness for that. I haven't always set an example in speech and in conduct. But I can say by God's grace, I've walked through several harder stretches of time, several valleys, several challenging seasons in my own walk with the Lord that have impacted the way I view serving others in this local church and in this community. And I've gone through the darker seasons where I've fallen on my face more than I've been running in strength. I've gone through those seasons, and I'm happy to say by God's grace, I've come out on the other side here with a greater passion for Jesus, a greater passion for his church, and a greater passion for spreading his love and his message to others. And part of what I would want to say today as we're looking at this passage that invites us to be zealous in servanthood and good works is I just want to say I want to invite you on this journey, on this adventure that God has been leading me in. I want to invite you on this adventure of soaking up the grace of God, of getting excited, maybe again for the first time in a while, or getting more excited than you've been, or just being refreshed in your genuine love and passion for Jesus in such a way that it will spill out, in such a way that it will lead into loving and serving Christ's church, and such a way that it will lead to eagerly and earnestly, with emotion and devotion, with passion, fueling action in acts of servanthood and love and ministry here in our community. I want to invite you to come with me on that journey. What does that look like? You've heard some great stories already today, right? I was just moved to tears. Literally, I'm not making this up. I was moved to tears as Mary is sharing just the detail about boys who need to see men who will lead with gentleness and love and respect. I mean, that as she's sharing that detail, it's just stirring me to tears this morning. Whose heart is not gripped by hearing Andy and his joy sharing about these things and seeing how Andrew and Josh and others here in this church have loved him and cared for him. And man, how could your heart not be gripped by that to one degree or another? I think of the kids who are over there being taught out of God's word, week after week, stories that spotlight the gospel. And we looked last week at that passage when Jesus says, I'll show you who's great. Whoever receives a kid, whoever cares for a kid in my name, that's who's great in the kingdom of God. And all of a sudden, the issue is not that I don't have any ways I can serve. The issue is not that you don't have any gifts. That's a bogus lie. As each has received a gift, use it. You have gifts. You have opportunities. Fuel up on the love and grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And join me in the joyful, happy journey of spreading that love and the message of Jesus to others. That's what I'm inviting you to do this morning. And whether that takes the form of checking off some boxes and saying, I want to take a few weeks to think about this, but I've found a few things already that I want to check off some boxes, get some more information about so I can get plugged in and get going. Or whether it's a matter of going and finding another friend in your small group or a pastor and saying, look, I just have a really hard time thinking about getting involved in serving for this reason or that reason. Last time I served, I just felt like I got burned by it. And I need to deal with that a little bit. Or maybe you just need to honestly get on your knees before the Lord and say, Lord, I've been too proud. I've been too arrogant. I've been thinking I don't want to be involved in something if I'm not the one who starts it. or maybe you've been like me and you just need to get on your knees before the Lord and you need to say, Lord, I need my first love restored. Pour out your Holy Spirit afresh on my life so that there's greater joy and greater energy with which to go and serve others. Whatever that next step is for you. I want to invite you to soak up the love and grace of God that's being poured out generously all over your life. And to join me, to join together with these brothers and sisters in the happy journey of going and living like a church that is zealous. Zealous in what Jesus wants us to be doing.